Yes, yes. Welcome back to episode number 67 of the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. I'm here with my co-host, the talented, the fine-looking, the fine AdWords-delivering, Chris Schaefer, down in hot, sweaty Houston, Texas. Chris, how's it going today, buddy?
It is hot. It's been a miserable summer. Thank you, Jason, for the always confusing intro and embarrassing introduction to me. But Jason, as always, looking nice with the tie.
Thank
and
you.
Always keeping everyone on their toes with those intros. It's nice. I'm glad you do it because I have too much pride, I think, to make those sounds on live air. So thank you.
Right. You know, Chris, once you're out there online, your face is out there, you're just out there, dude. So,
yeah,
you know, you're out there with me, and we're going to jump into it. So, Chris, I've never been more excited about a podcast episode on the Paid Search Podcast. That's a lie. The only time I was more excited is when we spoke to the great David Shapiro.
Oh.
That was exciting for me. And we learned about the other thing out there, Facebook. But today, it's my second most excited podcast episode, I think, Chris. We get questions all the time about, okay, you guys tell us a bunch about what AdWords is, how to build it, how to know if your account's working well, but how do you manage it? What do you do after you launch an account? And what do you do for 1 month, for 1 year, you're 5 years in? What do you do? And we're here to share what we do, to give guidance on it. And so if you're the in-house person who works on AdWords all week long, but you don't really know how to articulate to your boss what exactly you do every week, or you don't have a structure to your work, or you're the business owner who doesn't have a lot of time to manage your own AdWords account, but you want to manage it and you don't have a system to efficiently knock it out each week, we have that system for you. It's the ultimate AdWords management system. You can do it daily. You can do it weekly. You can do it biweekly. You can do it monthly. You can even do it quarterly, depending on how big or small your AdWords account is and how much time you want to spend in it. We have five things we focus on. And Chris, the amazing thing about these five things, this structure of management, these tasks that you and I both do, is that we came up with this independently, running our own AdWords management companies. And then when we finally met and talked to each other about how we work, we both realized this is the system we do, and it's not rocket science. So why don't you talk about, you know, how you came to this system, and then whether or not you were surprised when you talked to me and you were like, hey, you do the exact same thing.
Yeah, a little bit of history. Jason and I, you know, originally kind of met, and Jason had emailed me. I was like, hey, you do the same thing as me. We should talk, you know? I mean, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Let's talk business. Let's talk shop. So I was like, cool. And it's as if anyone's out there, you know, managing AdWords, it feels like a lonely room that you're in. Like you're in your castle, and you've built up this empire of campaigns, and you're just lonely. And you think, anyone out there? Does anyone relate and do what I do? And what's amazing is that with the podcast and with YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, and we can communicate these ideas and make sure you guys understand that you know, these things that you do, there actually are standards and ways that complete strangers like Jason and I once were can agree on, and processes that we can agree on that work. They work for me, they work for Jason, and they'll work for you guys. And these processes are basic five-step ultimate guide to managing a campaign that's already running, you know. So whether you're spending $200,000 or $200, this works no matter what level you're at.
And there's no end to the game here, Chris. This is the stuff we do on week one of a launch, and this is the stuff we do 7 years into an account. Besides new things that AdWords adds in there, new features and all that, these are still going to be the five things we're going to be doing 7 years in. So we both came about this. It's what we both do. There's no extra secrets or anything like that. This is what we do. And we think this is the ultimate system for you guys to manage your account. So, Chris, let's get into it here. The first thing you and I do, and we talked a lot about this last week, is we focus on search terms. We focus on what people are actually typing in Google, and we review those search terms to, here's a task, to add new negative keywords. Every single week or biweekly, Chris and I are going into accounts and we're trying to find new negative keywords to add, and the place we're finding them is in the search terms report. It's not rocket science. You go down the report, you look at what people actually typed in Google, and you pick out the terms that you don't like, that you would never want to show up on. If you sell, if you're a lawn mowing service out there and you want to have lawn mowing customers, and you see a search in there that says John Deere new lawn mowers, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, you're going to go and you're going to add that as a negative keyword. You're going to add John Deere as a negative keyword. You might even add the word lawn mower phrase match as a negative keyword, because anyone searching that might be looking for equipment to buy as opposed to someone to hire to do it for them. So that's kind of the why we do it, Chris, is to block out search traffic that we don't want. But why don't you speak to the why and how for you? Why do you do negative keywords every single week or biweekly, and how do you do it?
Yeah, so Jason, one thing I really like about this show is that we can talk at different levels. So one thing I want to do is I want to bring it down and say, basically, if you didn't quite catch what Jason said, I'm going to say it in the simplest terms. You click on the keyword tab, then you click on the search terms button. Okay?
Right.
That's what we're talking about. So for point one and point two, this is going to be the same thing. Keywords tab and then the search terms button. Okay? All the information you see on that page then is what we're talking about. We're talking about the search terms. And the reason is because, like Jason said, to improve the quality of traffic. You know, if I, right. If to talk about a different industry, if I am a
stripper,
if I am selling curtains, right? There's curtains here beside me, and I want to drive people to my site that are interested in buying my curtains. What I would look out for are words like curtains. Okay. Surprise. That might surprise a lot of you. Think about what I just said. I'm selling curtains, but I want to block just the word by itself. Nothing else. Just someone who's typing just curtains.
Exact match.
Yeah. Exact match. One word, curtains. That would be useless. I have no idea. They may want a picture of a curtain. They may want instructions, a DIY of how to make their own. All kinds of possibilities.
The English might not be their first language. They might be looking for a definition.
Yeah. Yeah.
They might be looking for a picture.
Spelling. I do that all the time. Right. I type in spelling. So what we want to find, and this is getting into number two, we want to find keywords that are more appropriate. I want to add keywords that are by curtains. Curtains, blue curtains for sale, you know, or curtain store, online curtain store. Right? These are the kinds of things that I want to encourage in my AdWords campaign. I want to add them as keywords, which is step number two. Step number one is to avoid the stuff that's junk, used, Craigslist, cheap, free, DIY. These are the negative terms you want to avoid.
Ideas.
Yeah, ideas. Absolutely.
Now, Chris, before we jump to adding new, let's we talked about where it is, keyword search terms. We talked about some high-level stuff. Let's get into it a little bit deeper for the more advanced users, and let everybody know that match types do apply to negative keywords. So so if you have a negative keyword with brackets, that's an exact match, and it's only going to block that. What I like to do a lot of the time, Chris, is phrase match, because if you block the word used curtains, you block it phrase match. But then you would want anything that includes used, because you would never want to show up on a search that includes used. So you can do used with phrase match, or you can do a little bit more broad and go broad match. But I believe all match types apply except for broad match modified. But that's something to keep in mind. So here's a big amateur fail point here, Chris, is when people go down their search terms report and they check the search terms they don't like and they add as negative keywords, that's adding them by default as exact match. And if you add exact match negative keywords, you're going to block those ones exactly. But if someone does a search, if you block used curtains exact match, and then tomorrow someone does a search used curtain stores, used curtains in Dallas or whatever, you're still going to show up. So what I like to preach, Chris, is getting to the core problem. Get to that one word that's really giving you problems and block it out. So what I do, Chris, is as I'm doing my negative keywords, I have a Google sheet on the left side of my screen. And I'm going down the list and I either copy and paste or type the core word that I don't like in the search terms. And then I add that, and then I copy that list and I add it in the negative keywords area. So that's what I do.
Yeah. Jason's preaching the truth. Just to be clear for you guys who are maybe new to the podcast, Jason lives in Oklahoma. I live in South Texas, specifically Houston. We don't work side by side, but Jason just described essentially the same methodology that I do.
Right.
We didn't learn together. We were complete strangers until
we'd never dated.
Yeah. We never formally had a relationship.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing that we find the same first step to be almost identical. So guys, take note. That's your first step. And the ultimate guide here is add exact match and then add a broader term. Yep. I use broad. If it's used, I actually add just the word used.
Now, Chris, I have to admit, I'm always learning from you. When we started this podcast, I was really, really militant about phrase match negative keywords and not blocking too much. I've loosened on that, and I've learned from you, and I've just decided to start going more broad.
My understanding with exact match is Google, and the way that Google is very open with their positive broad match, they're very closed with the negative broad match. Because if you notice,
they're not going to let you block too much.
They're not. They tend to keep people from making a mistake without realizing what they're doing. So if you put the word shoe, it does not block the word shoes as well. It only takes the singular form if you put the singular word in there. So that's why I use broad.
Right.
You know, it tends to, but it really
you're not going to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, it's not going to make a massive difference.
Yeah. Now, Chris, moving on to the second item of our five AdWords management system checklist items here is to add new positive keywords, to find new keywords and add them. So I'm going to talk about the why, and then we can both talk about how we each do it. So the why, Chris, is to grow your account, to find better keywords to show up on that are going to produce more customers and clients. That's number one, to find better keywords. And then number two is to grow your account. So at the beginning of the show, we talked about how this is the stuff we do whether you're the first week and you need to find new keywords because you're not spending your full budget yet, or you're 7 years in and you're loving your performance, but you want to figure out how to grow your campaign. This helps you do that. And so finding new positive keywords to target to get better traffic and to get more good traffic, that's something we do every time we manage an account, whether it's weekly or biweekly. So, Chris, that's why. Why don't you get into the how?
Okay. So again,
and by the way, I'd love to hear how you do this, because this is one where there's lots of different ways you can do this, and I have a feeling we might have different ways. So I'd love to hear how you do it.
Yeah. So again, back to the basic information. It's under the keywords tab, and then the button labeled search terms. Okay. That's what we're talking about. What I do is I go in and I look at the search terms, and when I see something that is spot on, something that's just, that is the epitome of the type of traffic my client or I'm looking for, the stuff that I want to drive to my website, I add that either as a phrase or exact match. Now, I don't know if I want to go into detail about when to use phrase and when to use exact, because I feel like that might be too detailed. But basically,
yeah.
What I do is, we'll just say, for this conversation, just add it as exact match. That's usually what I like to do. The last thing you want to do is add that term as a broad match. Don't grab these words, and that is the default, okay? So here's the steps. Keywords, search queries, find a keyword that you like. For example, we're talking about curtains. Someone searched for online curtain store. love that keyword. I click the button next to that search term and say add as keyword. Mm-hmm. But there's one more step. What you have to do is you have to add brackets around that to make it phrase match, or excuse me, exact match, or add quotes around it to make it phrase match. You use your own discretion on what you want to do there, what kind of keyword you match type you want to use. But the point is you really must be careful about not just immediately adding them as a broad match, because broad match, as we've harped on many times, can allow match across a wide spectrum of different searches. So it's important that you add the phrase in exact and then add that as a keyword, and you've done it. You've done step number two.
Right, Chris. So click on it, hit add a search term. It's going to be broad match. You change it to phrase or exact. I also want to throw in there that don't be scared to do broad match modified on all words.
Good point. Sure.
The main point is you don't want to just do that default pure broad unless that's your strategy and you're confident in it. But if you're not, if you haven't done a lot of broad match on your campaign, it could potentially blow things up. You could get a lot of traffic you don't want.
That's one thing. A quick note is I was just looking at a campaign the other day, and I had accidentally let one keyword run for a week. In a campaign that was all phrase and exact and modified broad. Do you know what's at the top of my 7-day spend for that week?
This one broad.
That one friggin'
broad. That one broad.
And it was just stupid search queries associated with that one broad term. Make sure if you do a sort that your top keyword spend is not some stupid broad term that's blowing all the money and getting all this crap traffic, because you are not able to restrict what it's getting. So.
Right. Now, Chris, I want to throw one more thing in there. I do also add new keywords that way. I go to the search terms report to find new keywords to add, and I add them. A couple more things here, Chris. On that report, you might have a negative keyword. And I was doing this yesterday with Jasmine, who works at my company. We were looking at the search terms report. We were actually finding good keywords to target from negative keywords. So we were looking at a search term that we didn't like because it included one core problem word that made the whole search term bad. But when we take away that one core negative term, the rest of the search term was actually something we wanted to target. So I'm trying to think here. If I'm in Oklahoma City and Edmond is a suburb and we see a search term like cheap moving companies near Edmond, I'm looking at that search term. I don't like the word cheap. I'm going to add that whole term as maybe as a negative exact and add cheap as a broad negative. But then I also like the rest of that term, moving companies near Edmond, which is not usually a word I've been targeting, near. And so I might check that box, hit add as a keyword, and then remove cheap and have that nice moving companies near Edmond. So you can find keywords that way. Another tip here, Chris, is anytime you're doing a Google search and you like a word, be thinking about your AdWords campaign. And so if you type something in Google and it fills in something you've never thought of or suggests something you never thought of but you like it, run to your AdWords campaign and add it. My final tip here, Chris, and I learned this from you. This is a great tip, and it's really changed the add new positive keywords task in my company. We go into the keywords tab for one ad group at a time, maybe like an ad group that's really been performing well with conversions. We hit plus keyword, that big red button, and then it has those nice suggestions that load in there that maybe are a ton of terms that I would never take or be able to do the time going into the keyword planner looking for new keywords. It suggests them for you, and it's got all kinds of variations that it usually doesn't spit back in the keyword planner. And that those suggestions, we hit the arrow, add them to our list, and then we put them into a Google sheet and make them phrase match or exact match or broad match modified. And that is a great way to add high amounts of keywords to your ad groups very, very quickly.
Yeah, and just as a note, any guys who are listening right now, you don't understand what Jason's talking about, this could be something we could demo on our YouTube channel. Just ping us, Twitter, Facebook, you know, whatever, YouTube. Let us know that you'd like to see a demo of that, because it is something that I did not know. I stumbled upon and told Jason about, and I agree. It's actually
it's amazing.
It's changed a lot of the ways that I build out campaigns now, which is which is epic. I mean, that's a huge deal.
Chris, same here. When I build out a campaign, our last task after we push it from the editor to the account is to just go through maybe four or five different ad groups and see and check the suggestions and see if there's some kind of term or something we missed and it suggested there and we can add it in before we even start. So that's a great tip from you, and it really has changed things. So moving on to our third checklist item here of the ultimate AdWords management system, managing the ads, ad management. And Chris, for me, this basically comes down to pausing loser ads and adding new ad copy to try. That is kind of what the task is. So let me get into the why. Why do you do this? Why do you want to look for bad performing ads and also test out new ads? So the why is because you want to get your click-through rate up. Yes, conversion rate is a factor as well, but for me, Chris, it comes down to click-through rate. Click-through rate's a huge driver of quality score. Higher your quality score is, the lower your bids can be, and you can still get show up high and get traffic. Ad copy is a huge driver of click-through rate. You don't want ads just sitting there with 0.5%, 0.8%, 0.2% click-through rates. You want healthy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7% click-through rates, and to do that, you have to find your losers, pause them, and add new ad copy to try out. So, Chris, this is not something I do every week. It's not something I even do biweekly sometimes. For smaller accounts, it's a once-a-month thing. Yeah. And for larger accounts, it's maybe every couple weeks. And for some, we throw in a new ad every week. But that's why we do it, to try to boost the click-through rate. How do you go about finding your loser ads and then adding new ads?
All right, so this one's a hard thing to really demo because
it's hard
because there's so many variables on this. But essentially what it comes down to is what I would suggest is you go ad group by ad group and look at ad group one, look at the the ads that are running, and essentially you set your history to all time. Okay,
that's what you do.
That's going to be important because you might be on this month. You might only be 15 days in the month and you're only looking at 15 days worth of data, but this campaign or these ads have been running for the past 90 days. So there's tons more data than what you want to look at. So make sure you're set with all time so you can see the entire history of the ad. When you set new ads, what I like to do is duplicate that one ad and make that's been working and then write another one. So essentially what you're doing, you're deleting one, creating another one, and then duplicating that first one. So essentially you have a copy of that first one that's working, and then a second test one, and maybe a third, and they're all starting. They all have brand new metrics so that you don't have one ad that's been running for 90 days, and then you're starting a brand new one
now,
zero.
This is what I would call the Chris Schaefer method, because we've talked about this before. Most of Chris's campaigns and some of mine, most of Chris's are on optimized for clicks. That's the ad rotation you told me you like. Mm-hmm. So what you're thinking is, okay, I have my winning ad, a really good click-through rate ad. If I just create a new ad and let it run alongside the existing ad, there's a high chance Google won't give my new ad a chance to get impressions, because you have it on set optimized for clicks. It might just keep running that new ad and not show your new test ad. So what you do is you slightly edit or create an exact copy of the winning ad and then create one or two additional copies that have a change. And then it gives your ads a chance to run altogether from the start, so you can look at those click-through rates.
Exactly.
Now, what I do, Chris, is some of my accounts are on optimized are on rotate evenly. So Google's giving my new ads a little bit more of a chance to show up. And some of mine are on optimized for clicks. Now, what I do is, even when it's on optimized for clicks, I just create a copy of that winning ad, of the good ad, and I make a slight change to it to see how the new version does. But I tend to not edit my or copy my original ad and start it from scratch. I have faith in the Google system that, okay, maybe they'll give the new ad a chance to run. And most of the time, to be honest, the ones where I'm really doing a lot of ad copy testing are on rotate evenly. But your tip is a great tip for people who want to stay on Optimize for Clicks, but still want to get their new ads a chance to get traffic. So we look for winner ads, and basically the point, no matter what way you go about it, Chris, find the ads with really good click-through rates and a lot of impressions, and then create copies of those ads with slight changes to see if you can get even better improvement. So a lot of people, Chris, like to use labels to keep track of their ads. And so that's winner ads. Loser ads, basically it's the inverse. You're still looking for ads with a lot of impressions, but you're just straight up pausing them when they have super low click-through rates.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's pretty much all there is to ad management, Chris. I would say the biggest piece of advice I have, because like we were just saying, there's so many ways you can go about testing new ads. My biggest piece of advice would be know why you're testing them. Like, have that one goal in mind. So is your goal click-through rate? Is your goal conversion rate? Is your goal coverage? I would just have a goal that's the driver.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
Yep. So getting into our next task here, Chris, managing bids. I'll go over the why, and then I'd love to hear how you do it. Why do you manage bids? Why would you go in there month after month or week after week and actually adjust each keywords or the high volume keywords bids? The reason why, Chris, is because you want more traffic from your better performing keywords. You have those keywords that have really good CPAs that are driving a ton of conversions for you, and you want to maximize the traffic you get from those winning keywords. And then you have those keywords that cost you a lot. They're not bringing in the most conversions, but they're bringing in some, but you need to get that CPA down. Maybe they're a little bit higher up in the funnel, but they're still bringing in leads or sales. But if you lower the bids, you can get your CPA down. And alternatively, if you raise your bids on your high performing keywords with really good CPAs, you can get more traffic at that CPA and lower your overall CPA. So that's the why. You want to drive more traffic to the better performing keywords, the keywords that have better conversion rates and lower cost per conversions and actually drive conversions. That's the why, Chris. The how is kind of open to interpretation. There's lots of different ways to go about this.
Yeah, this one, as with number one and number two, those are pretty straightforward. Number three gets a little complicated now. Number four is really hard to really talk about how, because there are so many possibilities when it comes to bids, whether you're doing it at the keyword level, ad group level. But yeah, I'll give you my...
Give us your bread and butter, your go-to system.
What I like to do is I start with ad group level bids. I set something just based on guesses. I might have a set of keywords that I really like, I think are going to work well, might put them a little bit higher. Other ones I'm like, I'm not sure if these are going to do good or not. These are kind of a little more broad, a little more researchy type of terms. You know, these are the terms that are like, best curtains to buy, or things like that, or recommended curtain colors, you know, things like that. Maybe they're not quite hardcore sell terms like I would want. So what I do is I put a little bit lower bid on those. Okay. We jump forward a couple weeks, and now what I'm looking at is data on conversion rates and click-through rates and bounce rate and all this information on different keywords. And when I start making decisions on then is which ones are hitting my performance goals, which ones are driving conversions. If I don't have a whole lot of conversions, which one at least are getting click-through rates and lower bounce rates and longer time on site, this is the kind of stuff I push up a little bit higher. And then I bring down the ones that are not meeting those goals. Okay, just like Jason said, and that's what I do. And essentially, I start doing that at the keyword level. So I start at the ad group level. I put one bid at the ad group level, and then slowly I'll start adjusting the keyword levels. So what I eventually get are my better performing stuff with the higher bids and my lower performing stuff with the lower bids at the keyword level.
And over time, you're just going to drive more and more traffic. You're going to force that traffic to your better performing keywords. Your amount of conversions you're going to get for the same budget goes up, and your CPA will go down or stabilize at a good level. Chris, this managing bids, when Jasmine joined my company and I was training her, this was the most difficult part to train.
Yeah.
Because on things like builds, finding new keywords, negative keywords, all that stuff, I was able to articulate to her very clearly how and why we do things at my company. But when we got to managing bids, I found myself just saying it over and over, words like feel, like this is, I just have a feel when I manage bids.
Yeah.
Go with your gut, go with your opinion. Things differ. Like I was saying those things over and over, and I was like, this is not a good training process because I'm not giving clear instructions here.
Yeah.
But that's where you kind of get when you manage a campaign for months and months and you really know it intimately. It's a very feel thing, Chris. But I will say my biggest like bread and butter, how I do it, Chris, I set my date range to whatever I'm looking at, say last 30 days. And definitely on conversions and keywords and bids, you don't want to be going back with too small amount of volume. That's going to change no matter, like, depending on how big your account is and how much traffic it gets, but you don't want to go too small. But so for me, most of the time when I'm doing this process, I go back at least 14 days. And I'm sorting by the keywords by cost, Chris. And the first thing I'm looking for are keywords with a lot of cost and no conversions. And those ones are really problem ones, and I might pause them or make them more modified or lower their bids a lot. The other one I'm looking at is keywords with a lot of costs that do get conversions. And then I'm looking at cost per conversion. And same thing like you were just talking about, raise the bids for the ones that have a lot of conversions and a good CPA, lower the bids for the ones that have a very high CPA and a low amount of conversions. But I like sorting keywords by cost and then looking at the conversion data once I'm sorted by cost.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. I know that we've talked about bidding before, so it might be worth going back and looking at some other podcasts or videos about bidding. But
bidding's crazy.
It's a complicated
all the
area.
Ways you can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing that's straightforward with that. So, all right. So that's four, Jason. We've got number five. Number five in the ultimate guide to management.
Yep, number five. So Chris and I, we call these things the extras. And what the extras are made up of are device bid adjustments, geo bid adjustments, bidding depending on the city. Like if you're targeting like the region or the entire state of Arkansas, you can adjust bids for different parts of Arkansas, different cities that perform better or worse. So device bid adjustments, geo bid adjustments, and then what's new to AdWords, demographic bid adjustments, age, and
gender
on search campaigns. So, Chris, those are the three extras. And these are tough for me because I'm not looking at these all the time. But then again, you don't want to forget about them. So what is your approach to device bid adjustments? What is your approach to geos? And what is your approach to demos?
Yeah, this is definitely something I check pretty regularly because it's such a quick check. It's just the kind of thing you can click a button and look at it and keep moving. So to get on details on this, this is in the settings, and then there's some sub-tabs buttons. So you go to the settings tab, and then there's buttons for devices, and there's also the geographic targeting, which is in the main settings tab. There's not a sub-tab. It's just going to be your locations.
Locations.
And then the demographics is under... Oh, gosh, what is that under? Audiences? Is that
audiences,
right?
Yeah,
that's newer. I forgot for a second. But what I do is I typically just check them. I look, you know, past 7 days, past 14 days, past 30 days and see, is there anything that really sticks out here? And what I do is I just look for things that surprise me. Wow, tablets are awful. You know, tablets consistently get zero conversions. I might add that I might block it completely. For the devices. Geographically, I might say, wow, it's really interesting that this county or this state or this city or zip code or whatever I'm targeting is doing really well. So I'll increase bids in that area. And then finally with the demographics, I don't really pay a lot of attention to it. I might check it, but very few times, unless a client has a specific product or service that is way outside of a certain demo, you know, it's house buying, you know, mortgage sales, stuff like that. And I obviously don't want to do 18 to 24, something like that.
AKA millennials, AKA losers, yeah. AKA they don't work hard, right. AKA that's all I talked about for the first 20 episodes.
I know, this is old school stuff, going after the millennials again. If you just got upset, you guys have been watching the show.
No, millennials don't get upset, Chris. They are constantly upset. Like, what? Like, no one cares about me? Like, I have to produce value? Like, we can go into that, but I will say there's a few choice millennials out there who listen to this show who work hard.
Yeah, but that's it. I mean, that's I look at it, but sometimes there may be no changes you make at all for a month or two. You know, these are not the kind of things that really would necessitate a constant change.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Chris. I'm the same way. That's why I said you always want to be aware of these, but you don't have to think about them. Like, don't focus on them day to day, but don't forget about them, because what you want to avoid is the situation where, like, your campaigns are running for 2 years and you've never taken the time to realize that mobiles have like a 20% conversion rate and desktop has 3%, and you could be getting a lot more traffic from mobile. Like, you don't want to miss that. So kind of like you, I am just casually checking these things from time to time, and when a bit adjustment makes sense, I'll make a bit adjustment. But they are important enough to include on this ultimate AdWords management system. And Chris, now at this point, I want you to tell me your super top secret thing that you're keeping to yourself that really helps you manage your campaigns. Oh, wait, it doesn't exist. There's no secret here.
You worried
this
me
is
there.
The I
didn't know.
This is the there's no secret. I'm joking about that. Like, there's no secret. Yeah. Like, this is the five things that Chris and I focus on, whether you're in the first week or you're in year eight. And so what I would say to everyone, Chris, make a checklist. Make a checklist, and if you have a huge campaign that spends $200,000 a week and you're the AdWords manager for your company, and this is what you do all day, every day, do this stuff every day if you get that much traffic. If you're the orthodontist out there that spends $1,500 a month and you want to run your own campaign, do this stuff monthly. But it's still these five things. So, Chris, that's it. We've been getting a lot of questions about this, so we want to kind of make a episode and give people the ultimate system. So, Chris, now that that's done, let me just take you let's just walk into my world. Okay, Chris?
I want to hear it.
You see this iPhone? This is an iPhone 7 it's, Plus.
That's nice.
And it's big. Like, it's as big as my face. Yes. And you, Chris, every single day I do something, okay? And that something is I go to the bathroom, okay?
Okay.
I go to the bathroom.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I sit there on my iPhone. Okay. Angry Birds isn't fun anymore. Okay. You can't play Pokemon on the toilet. I go to my podcast app, Chris, and I search in AdWords, and I see it's there, number 10. Okay. And you know what I see for the last 2 weeks? I see 20 effing reviews.
Oh, boy.
And it's stressing me out, and at that point in my life where I am, I don't need to be stressed out. Guys, I want to see that 21st review. I want to see that 22nd review. That's basic. Like, I have my
Jason,
business,
yeah.
Chris.
He has his. He's so goal oriented. People.
That's all I care about
he
now.
Wants
I have my
these
business.
Numbers.
My business pays for food. It pays for my house. I'm not thinking about my business. All I want to see is these little iTunes reviews. I don't know why, but I gotta see them.
This millennial needs his trophy, guys. All right, so you gotta help him out.
I need my instant update. So what I'm getting to, please. Don't make me start a Patreon account because I forget about my business and I go broke. Give me some reviews so I can get back to my business. So if you enjoy the show, share it with your friends. Leave us an iTunes review. And Chris, why don't you tell everyone about your favorite thing we're doing these days, the YouTube channel.
Oh, okay. Well, this wasn't planned, but basically what we're doing right now, I'm sitting and looking at the camera and recording a YouTube channel along with this podcast. So we live stream these, and then we hoard them until...
We don't live stream
them. Yeah, well, we live stream them, but you can't see them yet. And then once everything's ready to go live, we push it out the next week. And you guys get to watch and listen. Now, here's the cool thing. You guys can just put your phone in your pocket, you know, put some headphones on and just listen to the YouTube channel if you'd like to do that. I know I use YouTube all the time to watch videos, and sometimes I just listen to the videos. So
we're there for you.
We just want you to use however you guys want to use, however you want to consume the information that we're providing, that's what it's here for. We really don't care how you consume it. It's just, we just hope that it's convenient for you guys. So we just appreciate you guys listening. We appreciate you guys sharing, liking, subscribing, you know, talking about it, and the tweets and the friendly things that you guys leave us. Thanks so much. We're just two guys that are just trying to have some fun on the internet.
Trying to have some fun and learn. And believe it or not, we are humble. We all know that about Chris. He's the humble man. I am humble. So if anybody...
You are humble. You're a humble guy.
I am humble. I am a humble guy. If there's anything else that anybody does to manage campaigns on a regular basis, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah.
So leave us a... Drop us a line at paidsearchpodcast.com on the contact page. We'd love to hear if we're missing anything. So that's it, Chris. This is the Ultimate AdWords Management System. I'm glad we shared it today, and we will be back next Monday with episode number 68 of the Paid Search Podcast.